Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
8:34, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. In a rare, if not unprecedented, public display of frustration with Israel by a U.S. president, Donald Trump expressed in no uncertain terms on Tuesday that he was furious at Israel as the ceasefire he announced overnight threatened to unravel. "I'm not happy that Israel is going out now," he told reporters as Israeli jets were responding to Israeli and Iranian missile strikes earlier in the day. What does this actually mean? I have no real understanding of these ceasefires. I mean, are they written? Are they verbal? What is a violation of it? Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. And good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hanging in.
Well, as
a
you,
quieter night last
well,
night.
Yeah, all I'm seeing is the Israelis saying, "Oh, thank God, I'm actually trying to catch up on my sleep." I don't think that the sleep deprivation should be underestimated.
Well, we had over a week, 12 days with, you know, interrupted sleep. It was, I mean, aside from the damage and everything else horrible
yes.
going on with the missiles, but the sleep also was, you know, made it much, much worse.
I'm sure it did. Well, there's no doubt that it did. Can you explain to me the notion in international law around a ceasefire? You know, because it came out, the announcement was just done in such a strange way by Donald Trump, and it kind of evolved, but very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this we have to sort of interpret through the lens of Donald Trump.
Okay, fair.
And from what I've been listening the past few hours to various supposed Trump experts, this is kind of his realness and peak.
Right.
It's a lot of the times. Well, as we've seen, it's hard to even know what he means anyway. You know, given everything he's said is kind of proven to not really, you know, when he was talking about the negotiations and the 2 weeks to make a decision. So none of us really know what's going on in his head, but I do think he didn't want things to escalate. That sort of seems to be the consensus. He expressed it in a very
clear,
frustrating, I guess he was quite frustrated, but I think the real reason was he didn't want things to escalate and didn't want America to have to end up taking some kind of action again. So I think that's what was motivating him. But to your question about ceasefires, I mean, there really isn't any law around ceasefires, you know, unless there was some signed agreement. And then, you know, but even then, with, you know, you could sort of analogize it to a treaty, let's say. But people violate treaties all the time. So
Right. It's...
As much as people are willing to uphold it,
so
is basically the rule.
Right. So when all of this was playing out yesterday, there was so much confusion. And I was watching this on social media and on mainstream media. There was even a lack of clarity as to when the ceasefire actually started. And I was watching experts, you know, people that that live and breathe this, saying, well, I think it started at, whatever time it was, 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever, in the morning. But I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. We were in our shelters, you know, from beginning at 5 a.m. for over 2 hours. You know, we would be told, oh, we can leave the shelter. And then 2 minutes later, we'd get a notice, you have to go back in the shelter.
Right.
It was insane. And then even after the fact, there were still a couple of missile launches and drone attacks. And it did look like Trump had said that Israel had 12 additional hours
yes.
to finalize attacks after the agreement. So everything was very strange. I agree with you. But, you know, I think that's the nature of these things, that a lot of it isn't really known what it looked like Qatar and the U.S. were mediating.
Right.
So it's unknown even what Iran agreed to. But I think the other important point that we must not lose sight of is that every attack by Iran was a war crime and illegal. They were sending ballistic missiles of incredible explosive force indiscriminately into Israeli cities. So regardless, none of their attacks were appropriate. None could be considered legal. And I think that really, that's really what's been so enraging about the international community's response
right.
to what's been happening.
Has there
They've
been
completely?
Yeah, I was just going to say, has there been any form of response from the United Nations aside from calling for restraint from both sides?
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I've been participating in the UN Human Rights Council the past 10 days.
Yes.
And
oh, gosh.
In those meetings, the High Commissioner, the fact-finding mission for Iran, they've all been blaming Israel. They've just been attacking Israel for directed attacks on military targets and accusing Israel of war crimes, and then they're which is false.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't documented a single war crime taking place in Tehran
right.
or in Iran. And yet we're silent about the ballistic missile attacks on Israeli cities, killing civilians.
Is there no one that does speak out at these meetings?
No, and in fact, I gave a speech about this, and I was censored by the president of the Human Rights Council. They censured me. Saying the debate was about the Arab-Israeli conflict, and I raised the issue of Iran and its supporting of all these terror proxies and the missile attacks, and the president of the Human Rights Council censored me for daring to bring in something that they claimed was not part of the debate. It was off topic. So that just gives you a flavor of what goes on there. You can't even mentioning the word Iran, you know, gets you in trouble at the Human Rights Council.
It's really beyond belief, even though it isn't beyond belief. You know, that's the we've come to expect it, but it's still so absurd that this is how it's allowed to play out. There's this complete pretense of a world. There's this whole reality that's created that doesn't reflect anything about what's actually going on, and yet somehow it's allowed to continue. How is it possible after 12 days of Iran shooting ballistic missiles at civilian targets in Israel that the United Nations has not condemned it? How is it possible?
I mean, I think it's a couple of things. I think, for one thing, the UN is made up mostly of hostile states, non-democratic states, who have no commitment to principle. They're motivated solely by politics. They're aligned with China and Russia. And so, therefore, they're going to support chaos in the world. And then the other problem and blame can be squarely placed upon the Europeans, who prioritize process over substance, who should be the moral voice, but instead go along with it because they somehow think these international forums are better, and we've all, you know, are better than the military action or speaking with a clear voice, and they just allow it to happen. What happened a few days ago with America attacking the nuclear facilities proves that sometimes you need to use military force. And you can talk all you want, and give lip service to principles and rule of law and human rights, but if you're not willing to back it up, it really means nothing. And the Europeans, in my mind anyway, prove it every day. That they have nothing. They've, you know, been yapping about Ukraine, supporting, you know, claiming they support Ukraine, for instance, but they do nothing really to help Ukraine. So, you know, that this is something we're seeing. You know, that talk is not always solve the problem, and oftentimes makes it worse. So that's unfortunately the United Nations and their partisans in the conflict, for sure.
Yeah,
officials at the UN.
Yeah, it's just absolutely remarkable. What happens now? The ceasefire is in effect, and it would seem from Trump's reaction that even should Iran breach it again, Israel is not to do anything.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it depends on the actual extent of the damage to the nuclear program. We don't really know. The official word from the Trump administration and Israel appears to be that the program was set back many years. But I think now is the time where you actually could have strong action in terms of negotiations. Now is the time where they need to put conditions on Iran, and back up militarily and say, they have to have inspectors and international forces, American forces, not forces, but American inspectors coming in to see what's going on the ground there with the nuclear facilities, people who are actually going to be honest about it.
That
would be an ideal situation. I was hoping that if there was going to be a ceasefire, the hostages would be part of that.
The release
of the hostages, but they didn't appear to leverage that. So I think it's really, we're just going to have to see. I assume Israel will, if it looks like Iran is back to nefarious activity, that they'll again feel compelled to take action against it. And perhaps, I do think the Americans would back them up if there was compelling evidence to that.
That is where we do need to leave it. Anne Herzberg, thank you as always. Legal advisor of NGO Monitor, expert in lawfare, talking to us about ceasefire and violations of international human rights law.